Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Listen to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. Always live, always lively. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page. If you want to send me a post on Facebook, it's Talk Radio Europe Official, and we WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. The last one from our current studio here at TRE, Talk Radio Europe Towers. But we're still getting involved in the same old discussions, live and lively as always. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer and John Harper. Let's go to some of the comments that we've been getting in so far on the Mozambique story. Shouldn't the UK, that's from Richard, shouldn't the UK do more given that Mozambique is in the Commonwealth? Also questions in, what a crazy comment from Steve. Let's fill a hovercraft full of condoms, that will save Africa. Sorry, listeners, I must read these before I actually say them, kind of thing. And go back to Peter's, the American Navy has huge holocrafts, therefore. Also,
condoms.
Yeah, easy. Let's also, sorry, excuse me, completely throw me. Looking at other, right. Mike, okay. I was making a flippant comment about before the 12 o'clock watershed, before saying condoms, by the way, because I've had an email in saying my grandchildren who are between 8 and 14 years old, boys and girls, all know exactly what condoms are. Maybe they don't fully understand the significance and treat it as a bit of a joke, but they know what they're used for. Grow up, get up to date, and join the real world. So there you go. Right, so...
Stop making flippant comments.
I will stop making flippant comments.
Like other crafts full of condoms.
I didn't make that comment. That was from a listener.
And we, or reading it. And read it before reading
yeah,
it.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Now then, going live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. It's Greg. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much on your final day at... Talk Radio Towers.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah, I know you're not leaving. I mean, in general.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we're moving building.
Sort of everybody. I'm just ringing to say how happy I am that Alf's on the panel, because Alf and Alan Johnson are my favourite socialists. And secondly, I hope that you've sorted the habali out in your garden, and I think you should plant some sprouts where they've dug it up. That's all I'm ringing for.
Gray, thank you for that. Bit of a random call, but always good to have you with us, my friend.
Cheers, thank you.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. Going back to our internet and our WhatsApp, looking at some more comments there. 952-784-4000. Oh, yes, this is a comment you made a bit earlier, Alf. Spain has been fighting corruption for the past 50 years, and I don't see any change. What the hell are you on about it? You either forget or ignore that we, those in the UK, live in what is probably the most corrupt country in the world that stupidly thinks it isn't, epitomised by the naivety of many newspaper readers who think that subscribing to an upmarket paper makes them somehow superior. This strange national characteristic of trusting people with posh accents is what makes Brits so susceptible to rip-offs. Ironically, we pay more to the Department of International Development than we do for EU membership. Curious. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Time is 11 past 11, and we move finally, because we got through that first hour without mentioning the B word, but I think the time has come to look at the latest developments in the ongoing saga of Brexit. It seems that every week we have a crunch vote. Headlines such as "The Commons gives itself the chance to take control of Brexit chaos as ministers resigned." Theresa May is at the mercy of her mutinous cabinet once again as she attempts to rescue her Brexit strategy from disarray after MPs dramatically seize control of the agenda. Most MPs must vote, probably tomorrow, on a series of Brexit options likely to include no deal, the PM's deal, a Norway-style deal, a customs union, a second referendum, and revoking Article 50, but with the cabinet bitterly divided on Brexit and senior ministers coming under increasing pressure to tell Mrs. May to resign, her attempts to salvage her deal face enormous, enormous difficulties. 952-78-4000 is the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, WhatsApp, +34 645 99 67 95. Is this the end of days for Theresa May? Massive rally in the UK over the week, saying that more than a million, according to The Sun, grey-haired Waitrose shoppers with snarky placards were on the streets of London while Farage's march from Leave Means Leave numbered 120, full stop. But he said that there were spiritually there was something like 20 or 5 million on the march. Where are we? John, I'll let you kick off. But we have a caller in on the line stealing your thunder there, John. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name?
Good morning to you, Giles, and the rest of the team there.
Good morning, Brian.
Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Giles, I've watched, you know, because I've had plenty of time, my hand's got a bit of an injury. I've watched virtually every Brexit debate on BBC Parliament. And I watched the one until very late last night. I was going for a meal and a couple of drinks in between. But my conclusion is that this woman May, you know, the Prime Minister May, she's the most, as Kenneth Clark said, the most obstinate woman that you could ever encounter. And she brought all this on herself with her red lines, and she's also brought it on herself with an obstinate, you know, a refusal to listen to anybody else apart from her right-wing extremists. They call them, I think, it's ERG. I interpret ERG as extreme right group, but it's not actually that name. But anyway, they seem to be ruling Parliament. She's doing all this for the Conservative Party, not for anybody else, and she's got to go, and the quicker she goes, the better. I mean, today, I don't know whether people know, people like Sharon, I know over the months have been worried about, you know, pensions and how we're affected by Brexit, but well, today there's a debate in Parliament to do with pensions, you know, for the people living here and the people living in the UK within the current European Union, you know, establishment as it stands. But I think this morning, again, watching people on television, that these Conservatives, they're literally demanding now this morning, and they were yesterday in Parliament in the debate, demanding that we go out with a no deal. And what I don't understand, Giles, is that every single business that I've heard about on the TV or any other media, they're all saying about how badly it will affect them and how it will affect employment and you know, workers' rights and all this sort of a thing. And I'm not, by the way, ranting and raging about socialism. Quite the contrary. I'm talking about the current situation politically. And I think the sooner she goes, the better. Get a decent guy elected, or a woman who's not a strong, raging Brexiteer. And then let's see if we can move on from there. But time is running so short now, Giles. I'm extremely concerned.
Well, we're supposed to be leaving on Friday, apparently. Well,
exactly.
Brian.
But you want this woman? She keep. I mean, can you imagine taking something, you know, something to Parliament? And it's you know, historically, in the history of the Great British Parliament, historically, it's thrown out, and then she brings it back again a few days later, and again it's thrown out. a few Tories did switch over to her, yes. But, I mean, what is going on? I mean, we're the laughingstock of the world. I've got friends here, a lot of Spanish friends, and they say to me, the youngsters, you know, their children, all, and they say, don't Britain like Spaniards anymore, or French, or Italian? It's dreadful, the reputation that we're getting. And I think we need somebody now really, really strong. And you know, you see, the other thing that annoys me, Giles, is the people who are doing the interview, they never come up with the right questions afterwards when they get the answers from these people. What they should say, right, you know, the economy is doing extremely well since Brexit. Rubbish, it's doing extremely well because we've been in Brexit for 40-odd years. We've been in the EU.
It feels like we've been in Brexit for 40-odd years. Yes, Brian, sometimes, I must admit.
this is why we're doing well. Let's wait until 5 years after the no deal. And all I can say is God help the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Brian, for that call. Lots of calls coming in, as always. 952-78-4000. Get better soon, Brian. Good morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, it's John from Los Belitos.
Morning, John.
Good to hear. But one of the questions I was going to ask was about Brian. We hadn't heard from him. I knew he wasn't too well. Nice to hear him back, sound and healthy. I just wanted to ask a question of somebody out there. I did ask this question to Stephen Ritson. He wasn't sure. Okay, look as though we may stay, and I couldn't care less, as you know. What I wanted to ask, and Sean would probably know, we're not in the Eurozone. If we get a crash in the Eurozone, which is many people are thinking is highly likely in the not too distant future because of the debts, are the UK, being outside the Eurozone, not responsible for those debts, or is it all mainly going to fall on Germany? I just want to know that question of whether not being in the Eurozone, you're going to, whether in the Eurozone or not, you're going to be responsible for the debt. I just wondered if somebody knows that out there. I don't myself.
Hopefully we'll get somebody to let us know about that one. Thank you very much for calling. Going to another caller live on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, you're live on TRE.
Hello.
Hi, you're live on TRE. Good morning to you.
Oh, hello. It's Nina.
Good morning, Nina. What's your question for the panel? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's not a question. It's just something that somebody told me, and I just thought I'd put in a spoke about it. Apparently, Theresa May is diabetic, and apparently this affects her moods terribly. Apparently, it's quite a condition, apart from the fact that she's postmenopausal.
Right then, thank you for that call in there. Always a broad church here on TRE. 952-78-4000. Meanwhile... let's have a look at, Richard has sent me in this one, talking about prime ministers after May. Gove, 4-1 is his own thing. Bozo, 6-1. Uncle Jezza, 15-2. Liddington, 9-1. Yavid, 12-1. Raab, 13-1. Hunt, 14-1. Those are thoughts on the next prime minister panel. I'll get to you in a minute. But I got calls coming in, as I thought I might do on once we mentioned the B word, left, right and centre. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Bertha again.
Yes, Bertha.
Hi. I take a rather different opinion of May. I think she's a strategist. I think that her stubbornness is born of a determination actually to not have a Brexit. And I think that if you look at all the games that she's played, it's all heading towards that. If you look at the ministers that she put in place, David Davis, for example, now he really is a Brexiteer, but she fell out with him and he left his post because he couldn't work with her. She then put another minister in and shortly fell out with him and he resigned. These two men that she chose to negotiate in Europe, they truly were Brexiteers. But she stumbled them. She got rid of them. So she has created an illusion, which people seem to think that she's a Brexiteer, and I don't believe she is. And I think that she's done everything to bring the whole system of negotiation into disrepute, and she has got exactly what she aimed for from the onset. That's my opinion. And I think she's played an incredibly deceitful game on the British people.
Thank you.
Whether you want to Brexit or whether you don't, the deception is pretty awful.
Thank you for your... I've got other calls on the line, yeah?
Okay, just another thing very quickly. I have a question for the panel or anyone else out there. The European Union have said categorically to May and to the British Parliament that the agreement that they have signed with May is the only agreement up for debate. And I wonder why this is being ignored in the media and why we're still having a debate on an agreement that is the only agreement that is agreeable to Europe. If someone can work that out and why we are ignoring that fact, I would love to know.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-784-1000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Morning, Kate.
Ironically enough, Bertha's thrown in two or three things. Going backwards, the EU have said that Theresa May's deal is the only one on the table. However, when, I forget which stage recently, Corbyn went to, it was one of those electric times, the first time May's deal was turned down dramatically and very significantly, the worst achievement of any British Prime Minister. He went to Brussels to propose what would happen if the Labour Party's proposal were on the table. And the EU said, yeah, that we could work with that. It's a different deal, proposal, rather, and it is very clearly one that May would not have put on the table because it's got a customs union in it. But there could be another deal if you want a Brexit. And one of the problems at the moment is that a lot of people are feeling that we don't actually want a Brexit. And that's why one of the reasons for the feebility at the time. So that's answering the second, Bertha's second point. The first point I wanted to say is that I think Bertha and I must be unique in the universe. I have entertained the possibility that May was doing exactly what Bertha said, because if you look at the effects of what she was doing, it's only sure as hell wasn't getting to any kind of an agreement, a Brexit agreement. And it's only just recently, I think she's actually just a very bad, undiplomatic negotiator. I mean, recently, I was thinking last night, who does she remind me of? Oh, I know, the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland. Do you remember?
Oh.
I mean, fairly...
right then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because of her red lines. I suddenly thought, yeah, red. Yes, the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland would be a good caricature of them. Anyway, I wanted to come... then back to just quickly Brian's points.
Just quickly, please.
I too was listening last night, and I thought for the first time for a very long time I was quite proud of the House of Parliament and the kind of level of thinking and courtesy and etc. that was being displayed in these sort of unknown times.
As we are here at Viewpoint. Thank you very much for the call in there, Kate. Just quickly, one more caller, and then I'm going to go live to the panel who are chomping at the bit to get into that as well. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah. It's said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
It is indeed.
So bearing in mind that everybody's been putting in their mental diagnosis of Mrs. May, would insanity be one of them? And secondly, a question for Alf and for the other panellists is...
otherwise known as John, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, okay. At this moment in time, you can't say it's a precedent, but for the first time now, the executive or the leader of the executive of the government is effectively going to be pushed to the side. or kicked into the long grass, and Parliament's going to try and sort things out on their own. The biggest thing that you hear on both sides, pro or against this European situation, is it's about democracy. And at the moment there, clearly, democracy doesn't work because nobody knows what's going on, nobody can explain what's happening, and nobody can even have a rough idea of what's going on down the road. Is it now time to approach or use another method? And now that we know it's possible because they've had a vote in Parliament, would that be a better solution to what we've got now? I'll leave it with everybody, right, including the panel, and see what answer you get.
Thanks very much for that. Right then, panel, take a deep breath. And let's get back to some of the points here that have been raised. John.
Okay. 17.4 million people do leave this Friday. And that's a fact. That's just a simple fact from just watching the media, social media, that is, that 17.4 million people abandon the EU this Friday. Now, why would the EU want to have a country in it where 50% and more of the people don't want to be there? It's absolute lunacy. I've always said that England shouldn't be in the EU, not for any particular reason, well, for several particular reasons, but the main one is they're not a good player. They're not a good team player. They're an island. They don't really want to be part of a federal states of Europe. They were hoisted into various different Maastrichts and Lisbon treaties that actually took away their sovereignty even more and more. And they're in a situation where they're just simply saying, or 17.4 million people are saying, out, and that's all they want to it. So everybody's going on, there's been a great big conspiracy going on to say, oh, if we crash out, it's going to be terrible. And of course, anybody on the Remain side is not going to see the Leave side opinions being versed, and the Leave business people who actually just refute that completely. So Brexit will be solved at the next election. And every candidate will either be supporting Leave or Remain. And that will solve who and what goes. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, I frankly feel even if... the one thing I find unity on between Leave and Remain people is that May's deal is a lousy deal and can't be done. And I work with a very, very, not strong Remainer, but with somebody who instinctively feels that Remain's the right thing. And he's a highly intelligent person and also been deeply involved in all sorts of secret federal stuff. And he says, he's got the actual May content on his desk, and he says that even though he supports Remain, that would be the worst possible deal that you could do. And he actually said, I would prefer no Brexit to that deal.
Right then.
No deal right to that deal.
17.4 million people will not be leaving the EU on Friday. That's just in John's head. They're not leaving on Friday. They know they're not leaving on Friday. Even though the legal position says that unless they pass something through Parliament this week, that's the legal deadline anyway. It hasn't gone through Parliament. Doesn't happen until at least Thursday. So
they've agreed it with the European Union.
It doesn't matter what they've agreed with the European Union. Parliament is the legal process for the UK, and the Parliament have not changed the date on their part of the agreement.
EU law overrules English law.
I don't want to. It doesn't overrule at all. Not in any respects. No European Union law has ever been imposed on the UK ever. And I keep saying this: the European laws that get changed that are imposed on the UK are done with the agreement of the UK, and they're done with the agreement of the UK Parliament and the commissioners. So don't keep saying that Europe have imposed laws on us, because they never have. Anyway, so 17.4 million people will leave. 16.14 million said remain, and 13 million never bothered to vote. In the biggest election in the lifetime of elections in the UK. 13 million didn't vote. Just put that into the context of where we're going with this and all the junk that comes out. The Tory party, they go, oh, we're this, that and the other. Yes, in the constituencies represented by Tory MPs, they voted 3-1 to leave. In the constituencies represented by Labour MPs, they voted 2-1 to leave. In Scotland, it was almost 100%. There was one constituency voted to remain. But the polling was a third of the Scottish people still said leave, irrespective of how many SNP MPs there are, irrespective of the number of constituencies, a third of the Scottish people still said leave. And we've got this whole problem that people can't come to the issue of who did what. 221 constituencies have a turnout difference of a 5% swing. That means that over a third of the constituencies in the UK are 50-50, effectively. And then there's... Let me get my notes.
You're talking about electoral 50-50? Not Brexit, but electoral.
No, this is Brexit. This was the Brexit results. The Brexit results, 221 constituencies...
Can I just say a quick call? They've been waiting for...
52 of those constituencies have less than 1% swing margin. So over a third of the parliamentary constituencies that everybody's worried about that don't agree with whatever is being said. So where are we left? We're left in the dilemma that we started with, and people have got to stop blaming May and others. Just go back to the beginning. David Cameron was frightened of UKIP. UKIP was being organised by... Farage. And that's the issue that we've all come from. Stop blaming the people that are trying to sort the mess out. And just finally, because they keep on saying it, Theresa May, she's not capable of negotiating anything. She's clueless. She's this. When you get to name calling, you've lost the argument. This is about reality. If she didn't believe in getting out of Europe, she went and negotiated a deal that could have gone through Parliament. So if she didn't want it, why didn't she just say, I don't want it? Why does she even threaten to say, I've got this deal, if Parliament accepts? Why has she said it twice? Why is she saying it a third time? Why is she threatening her own people to say, if you want, and it is to the ERG in her case, because she's not been talking to others, if you want to leave Europe, here's the deal. It's not her deal. It's the European Union's deal, and they're not going to negotiate on it. End of story. If you've never been a negotiator and you don't understand the final position, when they go, that's it, they mean, that's it. You want to do so bad, do so. Leave.
952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, I've got a more coherent point to make. First of all, there's around 60 million people in the UK. Not 17.4 million, not 16.9 million or whatever it is. The other point is that John said business people who support Brexit. Well, as far as I can see, the only major player in all that is a guy who owns a two Brit brewery who sells out a dead beer, who thinks it's a good idea. The rest of the people don't think it's a good idea. All big industry don't think it's a good idea. This whole process is flawed. Has been flawed from the beginning. I completely agree with Alf. The only way to do it is to revoke Article 50, go back to the beginning, sort a deal out that everybody can agree on before it's put to Parliament, get it through Parliament, and then it's done. Because the way it's going to happen now is it's a massive fudge. Everybody's going to end up out of pocket if it goes through as it is. And then in a year's time, all the tub thumpers, the young people who voted on a race ticket are going to be, I haven't got a job, and they can't blame it on immigrants, they can only blame it on themselves.
To be honest, we can only talk about official stuff. There might be 64 or 65 million people who live in the UK, but entitled to vote was 46.5 million people, 13 of which decided not to bother. 13 million people decided not to bother.
Caller on the line, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Kenny.
Morning, Kenny.
I was just saying I'm enjoying the show very, very much this morning. I always enjoy it, but I'm enjoying it very, very much this morning. And I think now, personally myself, it's time for unity in all parties to work something out for the good of the United Kingdom. And whilst I'm on that subject, your other guest, I think I've had occasion to phone in beforehand on another day, that it is not the English Parliament, it is not England that's an island, it's the United Kingdom. And I commend Alf for always saying United Kingdom. But your other guest must remember, England is not Britain.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for that one, Kenny.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. It is WhatsApp +34 645 99 67 95. Joined by Alf Brewer and John Harper. Glynis said, came in on the WhatsApp, should have left it to a Brexiteer. Horses for courses. In once again. What have we got? Thank you. Okay, more about hovercraft and you-know-what. From Stuart and Decaser, the corruption that prevents those in Africa not getting aid starts with the charities. Several directors of Oxfam get six-figure salaries and huge pensions, skimming money not intended for them. Disgusting. I suspect Alf would support this. Okay, thank you very much, Stuart. Richard comes in. Let's not forget what Uncle Nige... Farrell to the mass, you know, Farage to the rest of us, said if it were 52-48 to remain, it would be unfinished business. Also, only half the country actually voted, 33 million. UK population is 66 million. England is not, another one, England is not in the EU. The UK is in the EU. Okay. And also, there's a little other bits and pieces. Interesting reading from Good Morning Panel. If the is a press release from Europa.eu, which I haven't read yet, that goes on about EHIC no longer being valid in the UK, UK license in Spain no longer valid, UK prescriptions no longer valid. Just three little examples of how much bigger picture of leaving with no deal. John's come in. Buenos dias, Giles. This is from John. Sonny's Shepster Shed in Leicestershire. Another great programme. I found a new hobby, watching the numbers on the Revoke Article 50 petition go up as I'm working on the PC. 5,696,894 and counting, because that was about 20 minutes ago, and counting. But will the stubborn woman take any notice? That's in from there. And another one is... Oh, yes, okay. Hovercraft, Brexit solution, point one. Hovercraft with condoms down River Thames. Two, deliver to Parliament. Three, stretch condoms over the heads of all persons there. Four, wait 10 minutes and dispose of bodies. Five, find 654 New Skywalker R2-D2s, which always save the problems. That is from Nick, and that is absolutely brilliant. Thank you for that. I'll be repeating that. But meanwhile, let's go back to somewhat like the real world. We've got a caller on the line. That's brilliant. 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. You arrive on TRE. What's your name? What's your viewpoint? What are we calling from? What's your viewpoint?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. I would like to read something out, something I've never done before.
Okay.
I found it because what Alf said about European law, I suspected he wasn't quite right, maybe technically, but it says, what happens if Britain doesn't comply with EU law? In an important ruling in 1963, the Court of Justice has said that European law could be applied in national courts. This gives individuals and businesses a direct means of protecting their EU law rights against national rules and restrictions that infringe EU law. So according to that, EU law trumps UK law. So as far as saying that the EU don't impose laws on the UK, they obviously
do. No, John. It's called European law Sorry, Peter. It's European law that's already been adopted by the UK that the UK then try not to deal with can then be taken up in a European courts under the European law. It's not European law trumping UK law. UK law is UK law. And we agreed, and every country in Europe agrees to a change of their laws. And all you have to do, just go to the health and safety at work stuff and just read it all and understand how many times the trade unions took Britain and the UK to the European courts for not abiding by the European law that was agreed by the UK under the European Health and Safety at Work Act.
Which just gives us an immediate reason why we're going to be leaving, because somebody else controls us.
Hang on, Peter, say again, sorry.
Very good answer to a question I didn't ask. Regardless of whose law it is, the EU law trumps the UK law. That's the end of the story. If you want to challenge, if you're in the UK, the EU law will protect your rights over national rights. So the EU law trumps the UK law. Regardless who put it in, how long it's been there, that if you want to challenge the national rule and use the EU law, then you'll win, because the EU law trumps the UK law. Regardless of how it got there, who put it in, EU law trumps it. So, as I've said, from day one, nothing is going to change. We're not going to leave the European Union.
The same would apply to Australia, to America, to Canada, to where European law would trump their laws. We are a sovereign state inside the European Union, and most of the laws in the UK are UK laws, nothing to do with the EU. And you cannot have European law that doesn't apply to all 28 member states unless all 28 member states have agreed to it. It's
well,
no use.
Use
it's no
give
use.
You a list right
you
now.
Can give me a list of whatever.
I could give you a list of countries that are not implying European law at the moment. They are refusing to do things that the European law stipulates that they must do.
Okay.
They're refusing to
okay.
do it. So the EU law, the EU now are saying that they're going to fine them, or
good.
They're going to reprimand
quite
them,
right.
or they're going to kick them out, because their law trumps, the EU law trumps their national
no,
law.
No, quite right.
It
it's
does. I'll leave it at that.
It's
thank
not
you,
the
bye
European bye. Union that are creating the
thank
laws.
Thank you, Peter, for the call in there. John wants to come on a point here.
Yeah, I mean, very simply, they do have, you shouldn't have a situation where somebody else makes it. There's 17,000 laws that the EU have submitted to the UK Parliament that have over a 40-year period of EU parliamentarians have adopted that have got to be undone when we get out of this mess. 17,000 odd laws that we will need to revoke in order to actually free ourselves from EU jurisdiction.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a WhatsApp in, excuse me, from Peter saying, Peter's not listening, it is a law we applied and agreed.
Absolutely. Every country in Europe has to agree to the European law. Therefore, it becomes part of your state laws. But the UK, if there's 17,000 European Union laws applied in the UK, it's because Parliament agreed to 17,000 laws that were proposed by the EU. The UK agreed them. What the EU can't do, and quite rightly if they're fining countries, if a country, and I'll say it clearly again, when the European Union agreed the Health and Safety at Work Act laws that covers the whole, and it wasn't 28 countries then, it was 14. When they said the UK were one of the first countries that said, we are not going to abide by these laws and we are not going to change this. And the trade unions in the UK took the UK government to the European courts and won the argument, so that European law that was agreed by the UK are implemented and applied in the UK. Why do you think the trade unions were so strong, who were anti-Europe, by the way, before we went in, why do you think they're so strong on not leaving? Because one of the first things that we ain't stupid, you know, Thatcher taught us a lot of lessons. We pull out of Europe, the Tories give given their way, they'll revoke all the laws, and the first ones they'll start with is the Health and Safety at Work Act laws, because it gives them freedom to do whatever they want with whatever worker without recompense.
Don't worry, Alf, because the Tories won't be in power again, I don't think, for probably 20 years, so they won't be revoking anything. You might well find that the new Brexit people that are empowered actually do an awful lot of revoking. Now, second thing is, just as a small point, you said about the English actually carried on and carried on through all those laws. Do you think the French...
UK, John.
Sorry, I'm English, so the UK, the UK actually adopted all these laws. Do you think the French government in the 40s actually willingly adopted the law that said that certain people had to wear a yellow star? I mean, Germany imposed that law across the whole of the country they occupied.
We're talking about a treaty. The treaty covered the members of the EEC, and it was changed gradually over a period of years. Where every time every time the Tories won an election, they signed up to a new treaty that imposed things on the UK because it was agreed by the UK government. They were opposed to having Neil Kinnock as one of the commissioners because they knew that Kinnock wouldn't allow them to keep going to Europe and agreeing things that would turn Europe into the United States of Europe. Kinnock was the one who was sitting in there saying, you ain't doing that. Oh, but that's never, ever seen us that way. Oh, no, it wasn't Thatcher. No, it wasn't John Major. No, it wasn't any. These nasty Tories haven't done any of that. Every time they got elected, they went and signed a new treaty that gave more things away to Europe than ever before. And remember, we were the EEC when we joined, not the European Union. The Tories signed up, without a referendum, the Tories signed up to turning it into the European Union.
I totally agree with that. I mean, the Tory party have been they've obviously been deeply in the pockets of the EU right the way through. As Kinnock at £400,000 a year pension, he's impartial.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Into the last 10 minutes of a very lively Viewpoint this morning. This from Paul in Costa Blanca. Tomorrow we'll be having votes on votes, which will be indicative of whether or not we want to vote on a plan which will be needed to vote on whether we go ahead with a vote which we voted to agree on. So that again, tomorrow we'll be having votes on votes, which will be indicative on whether or not we want to vote on a plan which will be needed to vote on whether we go ahead with a vote on which we voted to agree on. Is this British Parliament or a two Ronnies sketch? Also in, can you panelists get over the fact that the UK is not in England? Let's go live to the lines. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning. Just to say to John that we have actually had our own 89 to 90% of the votes in the EU. The UK has won its side of the argument. So we've had our way for 89 to 90% of the time. Secondly, we were absolutely pivotal in drawing up the much maligned human rights law. That is it human rights, you know, all this. We've been moaning about this law that we actually were pivotal in drawing up. Thirdly, if we were Germany and we were we are a strong country, but if we were in charge, if we were running the EU, people like John would not be wanting to leave because he wants power. It's all about power. It's all about the UK wanting to be in the driving seat, dividing and ruling, as it always has done, with its tax havens all over the shop. And so that's why we want to leave. We've never fitted in. I don't want to leave, by the way. The other thing is, the Queen mentioned the word compromise. The country is very, very divided. I think people who voted leave, you've got your own way, we will leave. You should accept now that you have a responsibility to bring people together. The way in which we leave, therefore, should be some kind of compromise. Because quite frankly, John, are you going to pay for my pension rises and my health care if there's no deal? We drop out and I have to I won't return to the UK. I'd rather sleep on the streets than do that. Finally, how are we being seen by the outside world for future trade deals? We are the laughing stock now, and the World Service is doing a series on how others see us. They've been to Berlin, they've been to Nigeria, India, Canada, and they're... It's not pretty. What they're saying basically is, of course we'll trade with you. Canadians have said, of course we'll trade with you, but we'll be friends with you, but we'll also be equally good friends with the EU and continue our relationship with the EU, because guess what? It's more profitable for us. And they went to Nigeria, who said, yes, of course we will trade with you. India, yes, of course we will trade with you, but it will not be on the colonial-type terms that we traded with you in the old days. We will have our own way over these trade deals, much more than you think we're going to have. So food for thought there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon.
Right. Sharon, much as I do appreciate that people, the general thing I've observed, people who actually very ardently remain do so more or less for personal reasons. They can see it's not necessarily going to improve their life to be out of the EU, and they like that. People who vote leave are voting for a different reason, because if we don't actually come out of there, then we will be embroiled in the federal states of Europe, and we will lose all sovereignty, and the Lisbon Treaty gives all of that detail out there. And if we're still... Hang on, let me just finish, Sharon. If we're still there in 22... then we will be a vassal state of the European Union. So Leave people are doing it because they say, okay, the European Union is going to become a federal state of Europe. It will come that way. And if we leave, it'll probably happen faster, to be honest, because we are a bit of a break on it. But I mean, that's the main thing. If you want a federal states of Europe, then fine, go ahead. Take your short-term comforts and don't worry about what your grandchildren are going to be.
We will never be, in my lifetime, a part of a federal Europe, because the British people don't want it. And what you're talking, John, is out your backside. It's called, if the UK operate their veto, and all I'll say is, I hope you're right that the Tories never get back in, because if they do get back in, the chances are that they could agree. They could agree, not I could agree.
No.
There is no agreement about federal states. There's an agreement to have a discussion about it. And I'll tell you, Spain will reject it as well, because the Spanish have made it absolutely clear that they don't want to be part of a federal Europe at the moment. Now, if we're all going to bury our heads in the sand, that's fine. And by the way, the comedy series wasn't the two Ronnies, it's Blackadder. Because it's a cunning plan.
A cunning plan.
Can I come back in, please?
Just very quickly, Sharon, because we're into the last three and a bit minutes.
Yeah, I suggest that John reads the letter in this week's Costa Blanca News, the Britain, the Lisbon Treaty and the Federal State of Europe, from a Pam Dawson-Tasker, who knows her stuff. It's a letter with a question asking if it's going to become a federal state. And a lawyer called David Burridge answers the question. Simple answer to Pam's question is no. Apparently, he's saying there's no appetite in the EU for a federal state. It's another myth put about by the Brexiteers.
Thank you.
That says that we're it's not going to happen. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call in there, Sharon. It's good to have you. Great quick call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, it's John from Las Palinas.
Good morning, John. Just go back to one of your points, Chris, quickly, by the way. I think there's a point in here that, and I've lost the thing I was going to go about. Here we go. British government may still choose to offer support to Eurozone countries in future. UK can ask for financial support for Eurozone countries, but it's guaranteed its money back. John?
Right. Very quickly, I was going to say that in the European law, it's supreme in agriculture, external trade, fisheries and the environment, and the other areas such as welfare, social security, education, criminal law, family law, and the NHS, etc. That's purely down to the UK. And anybody gets what it is. And just a very quick one on this federation stuff. Well, Germany and France are in this federation stuff, and it probably will be the finish of the euro if they try and do it. But it's Germany and France, and as a guardian of veto, both Germany and France are now looking to have majority voting, because effectively unanimity is ridiculous. It's far too democratic. You can have one little, like the Canadian treaty, you have one little province holding up the whole thing. So the Germany and France are going for majority voting, which actually will put paid to Luxembourg and the Republic of Ireland, facilitating the tax fiddles, the tax concessions that they give to, which denies the EU billions upon billions, and Germany and France are fed up with it.
Thanks for the call.
They are talking about 3/5 majority or more, not simple majority voting. And if the UK ain't in there, yeah. What country's going to stand up to France and Germany and say, no, we're operating our veto? All the time one country says veto, it doesn't happen.
952 said, wait, you've got time for a quick call, very quick call, please, caller.
This is a real quick one, Steve, again. John, I'm sorry, mate, even your hero Farage has said, let's have another vote, so your rhetoric is worth...
No, I agree, I'd like to have a snap general election. We just either vote leave or vote remain.
All right, then. Now then, almost out of time. Just quickly, because I've had some calls and some messages. If you want to get in touch with Jackie from Estepona, send a message to studio@tre.radio and we will make sure that she gets those messages if you're trying to get something to Mozambique. The charity we spoke to earlier is giftofthegivers.org. That's giftofthegivers.org. But if you want more information as well, you can send information to studio@tre.radio. Almost out of time on this one. It has been, once again, a live and lively viewpoint. My thanks, as always. And this last viewpoint from our current view, a little bit of history, bit of history. As we leave this building with the last viewpoint, my thanks, and what a finer panel could I have than John Harper.
Hey, thank you.
And, of course, Alf Brewer. Celebrate your cup of coffee. We're leaving the building. We're leaping into our large hovercrafts. Stephen Ritson, not full of those.
Yeah, don't forget.
Stephen Ritson.
Plans.
Stephen Cutting plans and hovercrafts for the condoms. Stephen Ritson, follow that.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.